The subject of spiritual gifts, I think, are absolutely foundational to our lives. And they're certainly foundational to us learning to be body of Christ together. I want to start with a scripture which I find actually a little bit shocking. From John 17, starting with verse 18. And the words are a little bit, you know, John, the Gospel of John gets a little tangled in words. He gets a little wordy. So we'll have to kind of put our listening ears on, and I'll try to read it so it makes sense. But this is where we're, what he's saying. This is Jesus talking in his final prayer for the disciples before he goes to the crucifixion. And he's talking now to God, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I will sanctify myself so that they may also be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of all those who will believe in me through their word. And that word there doesn't mean the Bible. It means the testimony of the people. It means the living word that God spoke into Jesus and into us. That they might all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them. So that they might be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they might be completely one. So that the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you have loved me before the foundations of the world. In unpacking that a little bit, it's really astounding to me that Jesus isn't saying, the proof of the pudding that I came and am God is because you have changed lives. We do have changed lives because of Christ Jesus. But what Jesus is saying, the proof of the pudding to the world, the witness to the world, the way the world is going to know that I and the Father am alive and reflecting in you is because you become one. You become an organic body. You become a different creation on the earth than the world can create. The world can create organizations and they can run well or poorly. We can organize ourselves pretty easily with people that we like and trust and know and agree with. If you look around the world, we have a good bit of trouble organizing ourselves with people that we don't agree with, that we think are wrong, that we think are dangerous, that we don't like. And the miracle of God among us is he takes a motley crew, any motley crew that gathers together, and makes something of us that is holy and of his heart. And this miracle is the witness, the non-counterfeitable, I don't know if there's that word, witness that God is God and God has come to transform the earth. Now, this usually makes me weep because we've fallen into sort of an American, and I'm not saying that Cherry Grove is not this, I'm talking more generically and you can take on anything that suits you because I don't know you well enough to say what is yours and what is not. But in general, the American church has become a shadow of God's intention. The American church, because we are so privileged to have so many of them, and we spawn and divide like salmon, that you can take your choice. You can just take one at any corner. And if blue appeals to you, you can be in a sanctuary with blue. If you really prefer vibrant purple, you can be there. We can really decide what we want by preferences. I don't like the sound of that pastor's voice. I don't like the color of the carpet. I was not welcome very well at that one. And we have all these ways that, like we're shopping, and what do we say? We're going church shopping. We're shopping for a church that suits us, that bends to us. And when it doesn't bend to us, we leave it. And we shop for another one. Now, I'm not saying there aren't valid reasons why we painfully part from communities of faith. I understand that. But I am also speaking to our sense of being spectators and consumers of religious organizations. And they ask of us only what we want to give them. If we want to stay aloof, we stay aloof. If we want to be involved, we are involved. And we have missed the call of Christ to become an organic body of Christ. What Jesus is calling us to is a very different task. It is not organized like any organization that you come from. The church is not a business. Even though we try to do our finances and our work with integrity and financial clarity, we are a body of Christ. And the way Jesus has organized that is that we who are gathered just the way we are, with all our glory and all our brokenness, all our foibles, all our stuff, we come together and we put it on this table between us. And we say, Jesus, this is who we are. This is what we bring. What can you make of it? What can you do with this? Now, I promise you, that means that every gathered body of Christians is different because they've got different folks in it with different gifts and different talents and different expertise and experience. But it's still the same motion. Here we are. You can use us any way you want. We take our hands off of trying to control this, trying to make it a certain way, trying to shape the picture of the church according to our pictures, or the pictures of the way we had a church we loved, or the church we grew up in, or the church we dream about happening, or the church we read about in a book because somebody else was really successful at it. We release all of that and say, create in us a new and vibrant and ever-changing organic living body. And then we organize ourselves, not by status and power, even experience. We organize ourselves around giftedness, that each of us have given to us in our very DNA a piece of God's power and love that wants and does flow through us. It is a cluster of gifts that make a unique you. And this is where you are to put your life energy. This is where your ministry is. And don't hear me wrongly, that doesn't mean your ministry is only in the church. The ministry is in your work. The ministry is in your community. The ministry is in this context of Cherry Grove Friends. But this is the ministry. This is the witness to the world that God is alive and you are part of the very nature and glory of God. You are part of the redeeming and transforming power that changes a world that's broken and feels overwhelming in its culture, in its brokenness, and its evil. You are part of the light that shines in the darkness, and that doesn't come by some goal that's out there. It comes by you being you, centered in Christ, and faithful to your gifts. And if we are all faithful to the unique part that we are, it's like a mosaic window where you're here and I'm here and someone else is here. And when you're up close, it may not make much sense. But when you step back, you see this incredible, beautiful design of God's intention. Another way I think about it sometimes is I call it dot-to-dot living, is that if I'm just faithful to my giftedness and who I am and how that rises, I just do this dot, and I do this dot, and I do this dot, and I don't exactly see how they're connected. And you do this dot, and you do this dot. And then when you step back, as one person ran up to me after one of my speeches and said, you know what a collection of dots are? They're called pixels and they're photographs. And that's who we become, a photograph of the heart and love of God in the world. Does that make sense to you? Now, a lot of work on spiritual gifts really just emphasizes who I am. And that's valuable and good. We need to have self-awareness and grow into who we are. But the work that I'm called to do, and part of the work we did yesterday, is to really spend more time on thinking about how do we connect together? How are the gifts interdependent? How do they depend on each other? How do they work together? Because none of us are made to work alone. The service gifts, Rob and I were talking about, the service gifts like to work alone or with other service gifts. They're not much into talk, 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 talk. Don't care for meetings very much. And kind of hard to put up with all the stuff you have to put up with to be the community of faith. But they have to find a way, as we have to find a way, to honor what's real and true about the service gift, not to subject them to unnecessary talk, 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 like I do. But they have to cooperate with listening, being in situations where the gift of wisdom and the gift of discernment and the gift of knowledge and leadership can actually guide, shape, give vibrancy to the service that's theirs to do. And that takes give and take on both sides. All of the gifts take give and take on both sides. The really kind of unfortunate thing about your giftedness is you think that because it's so natural to you, everybody has it and everybody could do it if they just tried harder or if they were just a better Christian. So we have these glasses on that we're going around thinking, well, if people would just step up to the plate, then you know, we would be much better off. If you would just pray more like I pray, well, then of course it will all work out better. I have a gift of prayer, and I pray all the time. I'm a prayerholic. And it is pretty much impossible for me to figure that you could be a Christian, that you could love Jesus vibrantly and not pray all the time. But you know what? I know that it's true that there are wonderful folks of God for whom prayer is not the primary way they know God. It's not the primary gift that runs through the middle of their being. That for them, it may be mercy that throbs, that pulsates in their being, and everything that they look at and every room they enter, mercy is what's flowing. Mercy's not what's flowing in me. Now the mercy gifts look at me and say, well, what kind of hard-hearted person are you? Do you not care about the poor and the disadvantaged and the marginalized of the world? Well, yeah, but the gift of mercy is not what's pulsating through my veins. That is yours, and mine is mine, and you can see that there are connections and support and interwebbing. But I must not demand that you do God as it's given to me, and you must not demand that I do God as it's given to you. But that's hard. That takes trust. That takes changing the way we think about our lives together. That takes actually knowing and talking to one another at a different level about some different things. How does it work in you? How do you know God? What are your gifts? What do they feel like inside? Well, how do you know? And those kinds of questions, those kind of conversations are the things that we started yesterday. I hope that they don't end. I hope that you continue them, that you expand, and that you have more times when those of you that were not there can actually listen and talk and hear. You've got plenty of teachers, you've got plenty of folks who can communicate and do that. And the other thing is, if you ever want a follow-up, I'm just a hop, skip, and jump up the road. Available to you whenever you might need that. The other thing that I really want to kind of remind us of, because it's countercultural, it's not the way our American system is that when we are trying to be the body of Christ, when we are trying to be an organic, faithful response to the Spirit of God, there's a different direction of being church. You don't start with a program, with a vision, with a goal, we're going to fill in all the gaps so we're just like every other church in town. You start with who you really are. You tell the truth about the strengths and the absolute potholes that are among you. And you don't worry about the potholes. The big mistake I see churches doing is that they identify their weaknesses and they put all their energy into trying to fix their weaknesses. The motion is just the opposite for the body of Christ. Find out what you're strong at. Find out where God has gathered you in life, where you are powerful, and put all your energy and your resources into that. Let the gaps be just the gaps. I think we as Americans, if just think about how you raised your children, you know, what did we do? We beelined into what they were weak on and tried to make that strong, rather than follow their strengths and see where that would go. It's a different way of thinking. The other thing is that all of your giftedness count as cherry grove. Lorraine Watson, our pastor at North Seattle Friends, is really good about creating an atmosphere where we know that Cherry Grove Friends is not just the programs that you do that are sponsored by Cherry Grove that your budget supports. Cherry Grove Friends is the composite of every single ministry that all of you have. You all get to own one another's ministries. You all have a part of one another's empowerment in the world. And the main job of being the church is to support one another in every way, physical, resources, financial, emotionally, spiritually, so that every one of you is set free to be everything you're supposed to be in the world. That's what your attention is on. And that's how your budget is organized, to say, what is God calling you to? And you too, and you too. And how can we make sure that you prosper, that flourishes, that you are liberated to be fully yourself? And in doing that, it's all Cherry Grove. It's all the magnified ministry of this body of Christ in this place. It's really exciting to not just be limited to the ministries that you all can agree on that you do out of this building or out of your budget, but to feel the expansiveness that you heal animals, you heal bodies, you reach out to abused women, you have all these, I don't know all the things that you do in ministry, but I heard some of them yesterday. You have all these tentacles of faith and empowerment and love out into the world, and they're all you. They're all you. The body of Christ working, moving rhythmically together to bring the good news to a broken world. Now, I'm aware that my words are really partial and that Spirit might want to say something additional or something else, or even tug and pull and texture something I have said. So as we enter into open worship, I invite you, if you have word that adds to or subtracts from or textures, that you would feel free to offer that up.